Please welcome Ted Rowe, Pioneer Pete. Give it up, y'all. Good morning and thank you. It's wonderful to see everybody here. It's a wonderful crowd. It's an absolutely awesome venue. A couple of years ago, us holding an event like this in the Portland Hilton was almost unthinkable, but here we are today. So as Alex mentioned, I'm a member of the Oregon Sun Grown Growers Guild. I'm privileged to have a seat on the board there. The Oregon Sun Grown Growers Guild represents the interests of growers and patients in the medical community, and very soon we'll also be representing the interests of recreational users and recreational producers under the new OLCC process. What that looks like is something that is to be announced. I also sit on the Licensing, Compliance, and Enforcement Committee with the OLCC, and I can tell you that I can't tell you what's going to happen until after it's happened, but I can give you a pretty good idea of what things look like from a producer's point of view right now. For those of you who are interested, our next meeting of the Compliance Committee is on this coming Tuesday from 1 to 4 in the afternoon at the OLCC building in Milwaukee, Oregon. We have a guest capacity of up to 60 people, so anybody who's interested in attending, get there early. Sometimes the rooms do fill up. The next meeting after that is October 14th. That may not be our last meeting. Right now, from a producer's point of view, we're looking at fantastically expanded opportunities like nothing that we've seen in the medical community in the last 17 years. One of the major accomplishments that was enacted under 3400 is the change that Lee Berger mentioned in removing the 12-inch rule. It used to be that as a medical dispensary owner, you couldn't have a plant in your shop that was over 12 inches. Now the definition of a mature plant is a female that is in flower. And we've actually taken that to the definition of flowering is now about the size of the tip of your thumb. The reason that we did this is because sun-grown growers specifically tend to grow from seed. We'll start our plants early in February or March, and we'll pre-flower them in order to sex them and remove the males. We can tell what the sex is when the plants are smaller than the tip of your thumb, but that would technically be in flower by the new definition. So changing the definition from botanically flowering, obviously showing their sex, to having flowers that are the size of the tip of a thumb gives us the clarity so that we can grow out those plants, cull the males, and then put our females back into the vegetative state until they're ready to go out at the beginning of June. From the producer's point of view, we've also increased the limits very greatly. Under 3400, we'll be allowed to have, instead of a pound and a half per patient, 12 pounds per plant as a grower. This is where we get into the fine detail work of the law. Caregivers and patients are still only going to be allowed to have a pound and a half, but growers will be able to possess vastly increased quantities. This gives us legal protection so that we don't have to go through the juggling act we've been going through the last few years with what's in process, what's mature, what's drying and ready to go, at what point do you qualify that pound and a half per card. We now have that burden relieved. There are some hazards that are involved with going through the legislative and the bureaucratic process. One of the main ones is that for most of the people that we're working with, marijuana was not in their vocabulary 9 months ago. It's very refreshing to hear somebody like Executive Director Marks now referring to strains like Synex and Blue Dream by name, though. So looking forward into regulation, we have several different things that are going to be considered, and it's very important that we use our terminology correctly. There will be some changes made to 3400 in the next legislative session that are related to the terminology specifically. We need to be careful in defining medical use from adult use. I prefer that term to recreational. We need to be careful in defining how we are going to handle the regulated market versus the unregulated market. There is a color term that some people use for that I absolutely refuse to listen to anymore. We're dealing with a regulated commodity and regulated distribution for the benefit of the public health in the state of Oregon versus an unregulated distribution system that we believe is obsolete. Many people in this industry began growing originally when it wasn't legal. But something has been changing in the last few years. More and more growers that I talk to have only ever grown legally. They don't remember being in the basement because they never were. They don't remember the risk of running afoul of the law and doing prison time because they never did. As this new group of growers joins us, and we'll see this even more as we move into recreational use, these people have different concerns and they have different ideas, but they have a lot to learn from those of us that have been in this for the last couple of decades. When we're talking about terminology, we're looking at several different classes of growers. Under Measure 91, any adult is allowed to grow 4 plants on their property. Those people aren't going to be tracked, they're not going to be regulated, their 4 plants will also not be allowed to enter the mainstream supply. Those 4 plants will be for their own personal use, they will be allowed to share them with their friends, but they won't be allowed any monetary compensation for that small crop. Moms and pops, what we call the 6 to 12 plant growers for medical use, will also be protected. They also will not be subjected to the tracking requirements that we're looking at in the OLCC right now. They also will not be allowed to provide those products into the regulated medical or recreational supply stream. Those will again be for their own personal use, and they will be allowed to share them, but once again, without compensation. Ironically enough, I just gave a guy a joint the other day because he didn't have any flower on him, and I'm not allowed to sell it, but I'm allowed to give it away right now. That's going to remain true after October 1st when recreational sales start through selected medical dispensaries. That is a completely opt-in program. I know a number of dispensary owners which will not sell recreationally ever. I know some that will switch to recreationally exclusive once we have those rules established next year. As Lee pointed out, there's something else interesting in the rules. The 1,000-foot rule doesn't apply to distances in between medical facilities and recreational facilities or in between recreational facilities yet. That is something the OLCC is likely to address this fall. And this is the time to get in your comments because we still are taking input and the OLCC through marijuana.oregon.gov, is taking public input still, and all of that input will be considered. All of the testimony that has been held for the committees is available. It's a matter of public record, and once the committees are adjourned, all of our internal communications will also be available for public record. This is honestly the most transparent process that I've ever seen. I know some people are discouraged by the state of regulation, but the fact of the matter is, as cannabis and industry participants, we are the only group that is actively asking to be tracked and regulated, because that is our way out of the shadows and into the legitimate emerging market in the 21st century. We're going to change Oregon's laws more this year through the legislative process. Next February, the legislature goes into a 30-day short session. We're anticipating making some modifications to 3400, 844, 926 in order to make them more grammatically correct, in order to make them more practical for all of us. There are gray areas that they've left right now. Like apparently, recreational consumers can buy seeds in an unlimited quantity, but you're only, as a recreational customer, allowed to buy 4 plants between October 1st and December 31st of this year. Although it's relatively easy to establish if somebody has bought a quarter of an ounce today and tomorrow, it's going to be much more difficult to know if somebody bought 4 plants on October 1st and then again on December 31st. The tracking system there is simply not in place. One of the reasons that I'm on LCE is because we sit there with a bunch of lawyers and parse this language. And as I told them two meetings ago, although I don't expect a room full of attorneys to agree on the obvious. So the ACLU also has an attorney on that committee, and they're very much looking out for our civil liberties. Each of the people on that committee, though, is supposed to be looking at this issue from the interest of pursuing public safety for the benefit of the citizens of the state of Oregon. We're seeing changes right now happen that a few years ago we thought would be impossible. Recently, I had a conversation about insurance and cannabis. Last year, when I had this conversation, the answer was no, never will we pay you for the medication that you're giving away. Despite the fact that I personally have saved the state millions of dollars in prescriptions, they will not subsidize the medication that I provide for free to low-income individuals. We had that conversation again last month, and instead of no, never, the answer was, we are not ready to talk about that yet. That, my friends, is progress. The fact that I was told that we are not ready to talk about that yet means that indeed we already are talking about it. Something I have admonished people in this industry repeatedly, and I'm happy to share with you all today, words mean things. Choose them carefully, you may get what you ask for. So when we're talking about our nomenclature, we're talking about mature plants, males and females, we're talking about regulating the production of a dioecious crop. Cannabis has two distinct sexes. We've excluded specifically male plants from these definitions. We're primarily sensimilla growers, and as such, the female plants are our money crop. Under breeding and research licenses, which the rules will be issued for at the beginning of next year, male production is not regulated the same way as female production. We're no longer seeing this plant as just a plant. We're respecting the fact that it has different sexes and those sexes have different properties. The male plants are more valuable in the Department of Agriculture's eyes in the hemp industry than they are to us, except for the breeders. And the breeders need to have access to those males, and we have no limits on male possession numbers now. Another huge step forward. We explained to the powers that be that these words do mean things, and we asked specifically for what we wanted, and we got it. That is part of how this process has become so open and transparent, is us being able to be honest, forthright, and direct with the legislators and the bureaucrats that are making these rules. I know there are going to be a lot of questions about this. I would like to be able to lead you to answering, or to asking some of the questions that I'd like to answer with the statements that I'm making right now. I also have to remind everybody that I am not an attorney, and the state legislature would appreciate it if I reminded you that because I am not a member of the Oregon State Bar, I am not giving legal advice. And nothing I'm going to tell you in this statement or in the question and answer session is designed to be an interpretation of the law, simply existing law as it stands. I get about 3 phone calls a day asking about various aspects of the law right now. And I always tell people that I will give you the answer as the law stands right now. However, on January 4th, that will be different. And on March 1st, it will be different again. So you're gonna have to come back and ask me again in 3 months. So I would like Ted Rowe to have the opportunity next to address some of the legal aspects of this, and then we'll go into a question and answer for the last 30 minutes. Thank you.